Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So, Dr. Talene is in the house. Woo-hoo. Welcome.
Hello. Yay.
It feels really appropriate to have the queen of raising your life up a level that we're now, for the first time, in an amazing podcast studio. So about a few months ago, we were recording these podcasts in my son's tiny teepee.
Cool.
Which A, was pretty hot and sweaty, and B, just couldn't invite guests into that sort of space.
I mean, you might
cramped.
Have enjoyed it.
You might have enjoyed it. And so this is definitely one of our kind of games of like, let's up level. Let's take up to the next level.
Good.
So welcome. So for those of you who haven't come across Dr. Talene before, oh my goodness, I can't wait for this conversation, selfishly, because of everything that's going to come out of it. But Dr. Talene, other than being a ball of joy and sunshine and love, is also a chartered psychologist and behaviour change expert, and specialises in coaching visionaries, creatives, entrepreneurs and leaders to elevate their whole life. And she does that by giving you the skills to train your brain to thrive so you can skyrocket your success in all areas. Taken fresh off your homepage.
Yes. And I love that.
Oh my God. And you've got to go and visit drtilene.com, T-I-L-E-A-N.
Correct.
There's a brilliant 1 minute video of you. I was like, you've got to watch the video.
It's amazing.
Just like I'm just wanting to like
the pink,
pump.
The fuchsia.
I'm like,
the
I'm
passion.
In. I was like, where's your Kool-Aid? I want to drink it all. I'm like, I'm in. It's just, do you know what's so wonderful as well is there's a lot of people out there talking about really achieving success and taking yourself to that level. But quite often it comes with talking about six figures and champagne and jet setting lifestyle. Yeah. But you come from such a place of joy and love and abundance and ambition. Yeah. And that's why. And we've got a mutual friend that is a client of yours. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about all of this. We were talking about success and fulfilling your potential, but also the fears and doubts that come even when you do achieve that success and upper limiting and sabotaging yourself. And she's like, you've got to talk to Dr. Talene. Like, you've got to get her on the podcast. And then we had a chat and I was like, yes.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Yay.
I'm really delighted.
So thank you. So why don't we just start with you telling us a bit about why you love doing what you do?
I absolutely adore doing what I do because the audience that I work with, those creative high achievers, go-getters, you know, that are really striving for what I term soul success, which is a success that lights you up in, you know, every area. You just like dying to do what you want to do each day. And it's really kind of a soul directive initiative. Those people can often kind of get lost in their world, right? And they can often feel that they have to do it alone or not necessarily seek out the right support and understand the importance of mindset mastery. They can kind of kid themselves that these types of things they should know, you know? And so I really became passionate about this audience from just my career history, really. I've become a psychologist, always went in that kind of field, but started working with a lot of C-level executives, so like chief-level executives from many different companies, and really seeing that, you know, these are issues that they deal with day in, day out in terms of, you know, financial worries or worries about are they doing what is in line with their sole purpose or, you know, how are they making the most out of their days and productivity and time management. And so really working with those that are high achieving, fun vibe people as well, you know. My clients are a bit like me. So, you know, I just absolutely love being able to vibe with people that are like me on that level, but I can really impart my expertise and help them thrive even more than they already are and taking them to that next level. So that's what I enjoy doing what I do. I just feel like that's a missed audience in terms of psychology and really coaching them to thrive to that next level without kind of showing them the kind of fancy dangle things that you speak about in terms of, you know, six figure success or seven figure success or champagne lifestyle or, you know, laptop lifestyle. What is it really all about? Like, what is the basis and crux of it all about that you're doing? And do you really understand mindset mastery for what it really is to take yourself to that next level? Or are you kind of doing shiny object syndrome with, you know, many coaches that are around?
So, yeah. So what is then the distinction for sort of mindset mastery versus the shiny object stuff that's out there?
Yeah, many people are kind of looking for a fix. You know, and are looking for something to kind of fix their business or themselves or their love life, which I'm sure, you know, you guys work, you'd see that they're looking outwardly for this kind of magic pill fix system, you know how, I'll do it your way, I'll do it this way. And it really comes from turning it within, you know, and once you realize that actually, you don't really need fixing, right? You need to really change the way your neurological pathways are in the brain to really support you to be thinking in a way that is supporting you to thrive other than survive, right? So once, you know, if we're just living day to day without kind of, you know, working on ourselves, doing this mindset mastery work, you'll survive, you know, like you'll get by in whatever way, shape or form you choose to do so. And with the belief and values that you have. But if you choose to tune in and learn the tools that support you in mindset mastery, you will find that yourself will start thriving to other levels. And that's really the distinction. But if you're in this space where you are working on developing your soul success or developing your business or your life or whatever area you're focused on, and you're looking outwardly for a fix in terms of the how. When I talk about a fix, I mean in terms of the how to. So, you know, how, if I understand how to build an email funnel, then I will understand how I will get to these six figures.
It's like you've read our lines.
Taking notes.
When can we have a session?
You know, or if I could only get hair and speak there, then I will achieve this or whatever. It's like the how to. They're really focused on that how to. Whereas actually, like, mindset mastery is more than that. Like, what is it, why you feel that that particular system is the way that's going to reveal it that way? Why are you feeling that that is going to be your particular fix? Is that your strength as well in terms of how you do things? Are you communicating to your audience in a way that really relates and is from a kind of really soul-based mindset mastery point of view, or is it based on a kind of systematic way? And when you start really tweaking and shifting the way you're viewing life, business, or whatever aspect into a different way, and you really start to tune into your inner confidence and your self-love and like your self-worth and all these kind of beliefs and patterns that you've built up over the years and start shifting in them into a way that serves you, you'll find yourself rising to another levels. And it really is mind-blowing. My clients, you know, they call me magicians or, you know, like all sorts of stuff. I'm like, no, we're just going to learn how to do things a bit differently.
Oh, my God. I'm just like, where do we sign up? Yeah.
So practical. So I know you talk about elevating your mind for success and getting in a success mindset. Yeah. Can you describe what that actually is and what could be a next step that someone could take to elevate their mindset for success?
Definitely. So I would say, like, there's so many different ways, and like, it's really about finding what works for you, really, you know, and that's what I work with my clients to work out what works for them in terms of their mindset elevation. But in terms of giving some practical tips on this podcast, I would really say that, you know, one of the things many people think, like, the whole mindset mastery is like, let me say my affirmations every day and like go in the mirror and be like, I am great. I am a six figure earner. I have got the most amazing podcast or whatever it is they say in their mirror. Right. And, you know, I'm all for affirmations, but you do have to look at the deeper level. And that's what mindset mastery means. It means about understanding your values and your belief systems that you have created throughout your life that have come from early childhood, you know, before the age of 10, like those beliefs that you, patterns that you've adopted through society, through those who have raised you, through friendships, through situations and circumstances, health conditions, whatever it is. Like, but really understanding what makes you tremble when you say, I am a six-figure owner, or what makes you tremble when it says, I have got the best podcast going that is like heard worldwide and the most amount of viewers. What makes you really like quiver, you know, when you actually say those I am statements. And it's about getting to the depth of that, right? If you're there saying, you know, you or I have the most amazing relationship, if underneath all of that there's these belief patterns that you don't really believe that, then you've got this kind of conflicting thing going on inside of you. And so however much you say I am, right, you really think I'm telling a load of BS.
Yeah.
And, you know, and although you make some progress, you'll really never really break through until you unlock what's happening in those beliefs. So, you know, one of the techniques I work with my clients on is journaling. It's very, very powerful, and it enables you to really tune into your intuitive side and shut off your rational side, and where your rational brain is trying to understand what's going on. And so if you like pick a question in terms of that I am statement that I was talking about and really journal on that, what do I actually really think about this particular affirmation that I'm saying about myself? What is stopping me? What is holding me back? And really try and understand that belief. And then, you know, really work to unpick it and try and shift it around. By doing that first, before you do your affirmations, you'll really start to see yourself moving forward in a different way. And that's because, you know, a lot of what we do is activated by, you know, our brain. And so what we focus on expands. And so, you know, I won't go too much into kind of brain and stuff, but we have the reticular activative system. You know, it's got termed RAS. And so it's not just the fact, like, whether you believe in law of attraction or not, like, literally your brain is wired to filter out information that you don't feel is relevant. Mm-hmm. And that's done by your beliefs, right? And so if you don't believe that your people, your audience will enjoy what you are offering them or invest in your services, if you really don't believe that, you don't believe that it's affordable, guess what you're going to see? People going, yeah, don't really know about that product or service. Don't know if it's for me. Because that's what you're bringing forward. Your mind will filter out the information that you want to see. And so that's why it's important to do your affirmations in a way that you rewire yourself to understand why you're saying things in certain ways, to start triggering that RAS to bring forward the things that are positive and that are going to really push you forward in the direction that you should go towards. Mm. One of my clients had recently just manifested an all expenses paid speaker gig in Bali and was like, you know, and we worked on her beliefs around becoming that international, well-requested, sought-after speaker. And once we tuned that in, then those situations occurred just like that, you know, and it's now one speaker after, you know, the gig of the next, you know, just from that. And like, that's why I say, like, sometimes it's like, you know, it's just magical. It's like, literally, no, it's literally, once you rewire your brain for train yourself to understand how to attract success, that's what happens. And that's why, you know, the law of attraction does work, but there's science behind it.
Oh my God. But it is magic, because that is our magic as human beings, that we are able to train our brains, change our belief systems, that in turn bring about what, you know, the dreams that we have. You know, I always say that our magic as human beings is our ability to dream and then make those dreams real by taking action. But this is, you know, also exactly that same kind of magic that we have, the ability as human beings that no other animal has,
right,
as far as we know. Yeah. I don't know what the dolphins are doing out there. Right. They're probably making all sorts of shit happen. But yeah, it is. And so actually, to me, that is magic.
It is. It is. It really is cool. But it's not me doing the magic on them.
No.
It's them doing the magic on themselves.
But you're giving us the magic wands.
Exactly, I am.
Handing out the magic wands left, right, and centre.
Absolutely.
And then showing us how to use them on ourselves.
Definitely.
Which is why I love this whole thing of it, so that, you know, you're teaching us to train our own brains.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's got that strong science behind it.
Definitely.
Which is amazing.
Definitely.
What are one of the ways that you've used your tools to overcome a kind of real limiting belief that was once holding you back?
For me, massively, you know, this is quite easy to kind of pick up on, but for me, it was around mindset for money. And as a psychologist, we learn loads in regards to behaviour change, like one that specifically focuses on behaviour change. But never had I really been taught around money mindset. Mm. And so for me, it was really interesting when I discovered that I had these beliefs around earning my own money in my own company, that I was like, wow, there's a load of BS going on there within me that I need to kind of use my tools to kind of bust through this stuff. And, you know, and that came from really understanding, you know, my mum worked, she's just recently retired from one company. She's worked for 32 years, wow. Right? You know, so she is not an entrepreneur and kind of just worked in the same company, worked her way up for a very, very long time. And my dad, on the other hand, who had left at an early age of the age of 13, was an entrepreneur. But when he left, he's like, business went bust and, you know, it was like not doing very great. And so that was the memory that I had in terms of entrepreneurship and money. And it's like you either work for one company and, you know, that's how you make your money and you work your way up, or you become an entrepreneur like my dad and then you really don't make any money and you lose everything. So, you know, that was what I had learned from a very early age. And the belief that I had, and even though I didn't want to have those beliefs, so my rational mind was like, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. You know, I left my job, my full-time job, and jumped ship and started up my business, which is not always what I'd recommend, but, you know, just putting it out there. But that's what I chose to do. And like, so rationally, I felt I could do it. I wouldn't have taken that leap if I didn't think that I could do it. But then when you're like, really starting to understand that actually you're only bringing in a certain amount every month and it's kind of capping. Why is that happening? You know, why are you capping yourself from bringing in a certain amount? Or sometimes I'll see clients that might bring in a certain amount, a large amount of income one month, and then it drops loads the next month, and then it's up and then down and up and down. Like, that's happening because of your internal beliefs. Mm. And so for me, it was really identifying to myself, like, that I'm capping my own ability to earn by the beliefs that I have. And so it was really doing a lot of kind of, you know, the journaling work around like the affirmations that I've just discussed, but also just really reconnecting and understanding different things for perspectives. I had actually reconnected with my father after 21 years. That had helped as well, really uncover and understand the perspective I had from a young age that I'd built up in terms of his money making patterns as an entrepreneur. And it was really quite healing. So that's something that I personally went through in order to kind of break through my own money blocks that I had. Yeah.
What are some of the most common beliefs when it comes to money? Like, how do we limit ourselves? How do we kind of get in our own way when it comes to money?
You know, this is interesting because as well, like when it comes to soul success, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and business leaders that their business is, you know, it's around like what their lights their soul up. They would do it for free if they would, you know, like they don't even care about making money. Like, you know, that's a biggie. I don't really care if I make money, but where am I going to pay the bills? You know, so, you know, soulpreneurs, right? Soul driven entrepreneurs, a common belief for them can be, it's not good to make lots of money by doing my soul passion, you know, or it's got to be hard to make money. Like, I've got to work really hard and work like loads of hours and not sleep and, you know, do all of this stuff. And then I can get money. That's a common one. The other one is believing that as well, they're not necessarily enough in terms of established enough or got enough credentials or however they may see that they should be validated before they receive payment for what they're doing. So, you know, they put, so people may put like a, you know, what am I worth? Like, you're worth, you know, you're priceless. Like, it's not about that. And so it is really breaking it down into like, how are you thinking about pricing in terms of your business? How are you thinking about investing in terms of yourself? You know, when it comes to money mindset in terms of that stuff, it's quite interesting to see what people do invest in and what they shiver and hesitate to invest in as well. That is quite telling. But they would be the common ones, I would say. Definitely, like, you know, it's hard for me to make money, or it's I shouldn't really make money from my passion, or I'm seen as bad, or, you know, or it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for me.
One of the things that I have around kind of taking it to the next level around money is that I'll have to become the kind of person I don't actually want to be. So I'll look out there and decide, oh, I don't like how that kind of world of doing things. But if we want to take it to the next level, we need to be part of that. And so it's like, don't. And the other one is also around visibility, is around taking too much. Is always this very much this little girl in me saying, I'm fine with just this. I'm fine. Don't worry. I mustn't ask for more.
Yes.
I mustn't ask for more money. I mustn't ask for more popularity. And then there's also the popularity thing, because that takes you straight back to school and the cool girls and wasn't quite there. So I can't quite get in there. And that's where I need to get. Like, it's so, when you scratch the surface,
it's like a web.
Wow. Yeah. There's loads going on. And definitely, like, you know, I love what you said there, because one of the things I will get people to do when we start talking about money or whatever is, like, just finishing the sentence of, like, money is, or wealthy people are. You know, what rolls off your tongue if you just said that repeatedly over and over again, like, for 10 times, you know? Try this. If you listen to the podcast, go ahead and try it with a friend and see, because if, like, you, like, your conscious mind is like, yeah, I want to make more money. Of course I do. I want to have savings. I want to buy a house. I want to, you know, have to start this charity or whatever it is. And then, like, your subconscious mind is going, yeah, but wealthy people are assholes. Or, you know, like, you know, wealthy people are popular. And I don't want popularity. I don't want fame.
Or I can't be popular. I can't be that, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. That is going to stand as an immediate block, whether you understand it or not. It serves as a block internally to you creating that wealth and abundance in your own life.
This might be too big a question to answer, but why do people struggle so much around money? Because I can't think of anyone that I know that hasn't got blocks around money. Why tell us, Dr. Lee, why? in a nutshell if you could.
It's got such an energy of, like, a dirty energy around it, you know, and it's really quite a taboo subject. And it's almost like many people are either, if you even look at how you're raised around it, it's like, was money even spoken about in your household? For some people, it wasn't even spoken about, you know, that term money, or it was spoken about, but there was arguments about it, or, you know, so it's really become that. Money, if we look at the definition of money is just an exchange of currency, right? It's like a currency that we use to exchange. It could well be goats, you know what I mean? Like,
and then we'd have goat issues. Yeah.
Do you know
goat mindset.
Exactly.
Improve your goat mindset. Right. Yeah.
You know, but that's really what it is. It's just like, I give you this, you give me that. It's an it's what we use today to exchange for something. But, you know, we blow it out of proportion of, like, money is bad. Like, you know, where has that come from, right? For many, like, it's also the way they pick up in terms of spiritual or religious text as well, and how they determine that. And, you know, that can come up, or how families or cultures or societies have viewed money. And so it's the attachment that of the belief and understanding of what money is and how it's supposed to be used that causes all of this, you know, confusion and blocks around it. And it's the same in terms of, as well, in terms of sex is another topic as well, of where that word just goes, you know, in terms of, what does this mean? How am I supposed to have this in my life and stuff? And so how people go ahead and kind of use that, or, you know, interact with that, is based on their beliefs and experiences and what they think and feel and act around it.
So it's really all about worthiness, because we're attaching our worth and value to this currency.
Yes.
And it's those stories that we make around that come back to worthiness, a sense of worthiness.
Massively. Worthiness and self-love is a big key part of the work that I do with my clients, is really increasing that, because no matter how, And it's quite interesting because the people that I work with have quite a lot of outer confidence that, you know, they wouldn't potentially be like, you wouldn't be like, oh, I've got self-love issues. Like we all have on some sort of extent, you know? So it is really about, are we really wholeheartedly loving ourselves, talking to ourselves in a way that we love ourselves and not attaching our worth or love on a particular thing, on your business, on the amount of money you make, on your relationships and all of that. Are you really working on yourself so that you then attract things at that frequency that you're vibrating on? Yeah.
I did realise once that I had a real scarcity sort of mindset around love and money in terms of how much I felt that I was not, I don't know if I was allowed to live off, but I kind of thought everything in life I could live off like a shoestring, whether it was money or whether it was love. And so that's what I was asking the world for. It's like, I'm fine. I'll just take this small amount of money and this small amount of love and that'll be enough. And I remember it being a real realization like that was just what I was living in and really worked at it. And now, you know, an abundance and bringing that in. But certainly each time you want to take it to the next level, it's just like, oh, there we go. Yeah. There's more.
Yes. Absolutely. And it can creep up again. And definitely I had this same block when I worked with this stuff with money. It definitely brought up men mindset as well. It was a big thing as well that I personally worked through. But definitely when you're rising to the next level, certain things that you feel you may have tackled may rise again with you. Like, oh, hello.
You're like, I thought I'd figured that out. Exactly. I thought I'd sorted that one out. Why are you back? I did bloody years on this.
Exactly.
Now here we are again.
Exactly. So it is really lifelong in terms of, you know, the work we do around mindset mastery. Sorry to say, you know, people are, you know, are looking for that one thing, but you know, it really is a long-term thing. But once you really learn the tools, you know how to get back in terms of like, okay, here we are again. What is this showing me? What is the challenge? Where am I, what do I need to learn from this situation? What's being triggered within me here? And so you can really help yourself with a more conscious mind state of mind to move past those blocks that may appear.
I mean, it's like a muscle, isn't it? And it's all like a relationship. You don't just suddenly go, right, I'm going to do all this exercise and get really fit and that's me done for life.
Exactly.
And now my body should know to stay in that sort of, you know, same fitness or in a relationship. You don't like after the honeymoon go like, right, well, that's all. Well, that's all the love done. I guess we'll just flow along like this the next 40 years. Fantastic. Don't need to look at it anymore.
Exactly.
It's the same. You've got to just keep working at it. Why are we not taught this stuff in schools?
I know.
What?
Crazy.
Why? It's just, don't get me started on education, but really, like,
absolutely.
Imagine.
Crazy,
On self-worth.
Yeah.
It's really, it should be embedded in the curriculum, definitely. I know more and more schools in different countries and communities and stuff are starting to include things like mindfulness, you know, meditation, and really starting, the research is getting up there in terms of children and understanding this information, but it's not enough, you know, and we do need to do more. And where possible, where we have children or have, you know, children around us, if you're a person that's listening to this that has a child, or you know, you have children that are nearby or whatever, or you interact with children or work with children, it's so important for you to do the work on yourself, which then mirrors to them how they should be living as well. And that's, you know, as much as we can do as well in terms of ourselves, but definitely more needs to be done in terms of the educational systems.
It's true that it's not what you say, it's what you do with kids. So they need to see it.
Yeah,
you know, they need to see you doing it.
Do you think sometimes there's a bit of a delay with you know, when you're working on the inner stuff, the beliefs and the narratives and everything? And then that gradually reflects an outer change. So the inner change reflects the outer change. In that kind of limbo state, is that particularly hard for people when the outer world's not quite reflective of that inner world? So there's all this change on the inside, but the outside's still the same. So there's that kind of like, yeah, that limbo.
Definitely. Absolutely. You know, we're in a culture of instant gratification. And so, you know, it's like, I've been doing it
Why
for three
not,
days.
Why isn't it here yet?
Where is it?
Yeah.
You know, and there is that limbo stage. And definitely when we start working on the stuff, you start to see changes very quickly. Mm. But, you know, in a matter of kind of couple of weeks, you can start, if you're doing the right work and, you know, getting the right support, you can start to see some changes quite quickly. But it is a process of ongoing, doing the work for at least 8 weeks of really working on yourselves to then start to see it carrying on. Mm. And you've got to continue. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't go to the gym, like you say,
yeah,
and, like, work on a six-pack and then be like, yes, there, done. You know, and expect
back to the burgers.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you've really got to continue doing that. So to create a new behaviour change, to create a new thought process, right, it takes at least 8 weeks, mm, yeah, to really start even thinking like that you understand what that new thought process is, and that new value and that new belief. And then you have to continue doing it from that point as well, and the work. So yes, whilst we're here in this instant gratification culture where we're like, okay, I've been like doing it now, where is it, you know, it is the sense of like trusting and understanding that it's coming, everything's happening for you, and it's just continuing to do that work. And so it's really important to, you know, and this comes even with vision setting or intention setting or goal setting. Like, I do that on a monthly basis, and I work with my clients to kind of really set those intentions each month. And I'd encourage you to do that as well yourselves if you're listening to this. But it is almost like setting those intentions and goals for the month and then almost like burning it and being like, you know, releasing and surrendering and doing, like, taking the actions. Mm-hmm. But also detaching yourself as well from the outcomes, mm-hmm, which really takes a skill. And so, you know, you'll still be moving forward and definitely manifesting into your life all those things that you intend for in the way that they're supposed to show up. But it is really as well about being able to trust in yourself and your new way of thinking and your new way of acting. And if you're a person that is really getting caught up in like, well, I've been doing this for, you know, X amount of days or X amount of hours, and, you know, this isn't showing up in my life yet, or I've been working on this and this isn't happening, then it's like, well, you know, how long has it been? You know, have you really been showing up with a sense of trusting and believing that it's even going to happen for you? Because if you're doing the work and you don't actually believe in the work,
yeah,
that's another thing, right? You know, like, I'm doing this, but it's not happening. Do you believe it could happen for you? Or is that something?
Do you think you could kill it off with impatience as well?
Yeah, massively.
Because, you know, it's just like, I'm doing it all, but I was hoping for overnight success.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's, and because how much do you, so if someone comes to you and says, I really want to work on money, I really want to be earning a lot of money by, I don't know, this time next year. Mm-hmm. How much of it is going, okay, great, love the ambition, let's go for it, although I suppose you need to dig around and see where is this coming from? How much do you also need to have an element of being realistic? I know when I work with people on starting businesses, and sometimes there's that impatience, but I thought it was all going to happen, you know. Not in 3 months, it's not going to happen. Like, it's not going to cover your full-time income in such a short space of time. So you do also have to manage expectations. How do you work with that? Or do you say no? Just go for the big dream and believe in miracles.
Yeah. So quantum leaps are possible. I do believe that. So I believe that they should have a stretch vision or goal. But I also believe that there should be that realistic understanding of what they can achieve. And so that can be achieved. But if you're someone starting a business, or whether you've got your business and you want to take it to the next level financially, one is like, look at, like, really look at the figures. What's the most you've ever earned in a day? What's the most you've ever earned in a week, in a month? If you look back of the past 3 months, what's your earning capacity been like? What about for the past 3 years? You know, look at, you know, what it's been like 2018. What about 2017? What about 2016? Then you can see what your jumps have been like. And so then you can create the next level jump on what you know to believe is true. Because it all comes down to beliefs. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is this whole, like, quantum leaps are possible if you, for those that believe it's possible for them. But if subconsciously you really don't believe it's possible for you, if consciously your, you know, your income has been around the 60K mark for the past, you know, 2018, and maybe 50K for 2017 or whatever, and it's just been rising by 10K, you know, a year, And then to be like, oh, in 2019 is the year I become the millionaire. Like, you don't really potentially believe that. And so it's not that I'm saying that you can't become, you know, you can't get the millions in the next year. If you do, you know, so much work and you start really embodying those beliefs that you can, then that may be possible for you. But it is also about like breaking incrementally. Can you like bring that 60K into, rather than a year, into, you know, into half a year? Like, can we incrementally move up that way? What's going to feel doable within your mind? And that's what it really comes down to. In terms of breaking through those money beliefs. So I do, you know, I have, when I work with clients on money, there is a lot of work around physically looking at your money, like how much you're earning.
Yeah.
Like some people don't even look at their bank accounts or like open letters or, you know, understand how they're spending or what they're earning or all of that stuff. It's just a bit of a blur. So, you know, there's a lot of practical steps in terms of really understanding your relationship you have with money. And what does that even look like? And then it's about building on that relationship so you have a better relationship about money, so you can invite more money into your life, because it's not going to show up if the relationship's kind of just, yeah, I kind of look at it when I want to, but I want it, you know, to show up in a bigger way. So yeah, it, like, have those big visions, like have the big vision boards, the goals, however you choose to plan it, but then really like look at it in strategically as well, in terms of what is my beliefs at, in terms of what do I know that is possible for me. Yeah, and then work in between that range to work up to step by step to your big level vision.
And you can't, particularly with money, you can't be neglecting your current money situation while dreaming and hoping of the millions.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because if you can't even look at your money situation right now.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Exactly. Makes total sense. We were talking about this earlier before you came along. It was so fun. It's like, wow, what has this episode already started doing to us? It was all coming out.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the money thing, you know, the money mindset. And I was saying exactly that. It's just, you know, it's as well as the sort of the visioning, it's also about really grounding yourself in really getting yourself educated on money as well. Particularly when, you know, as business owners, really educating yourself. But, you know, even if you're employed or not a business owner, understanding what you can do with investing money.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And all that kind of stuff, which particularly for women is something that apparently is women just are not good or don't really educate themselves in money and what they can do with it. And apparently it's a real problem.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the education is absolutely key. With any area that you want to change your life, the education is important, right? So mindset mastery is absolutely important. Education is absolutely important. And a strategic approach is vital as well, right? So it's not enough to do just mindset mastery and not take the action strategically or educate yourself on what you're working on. And so if it's money, like, educate yourself around money, finances, investing, all of that stuff. Like, continuously putting the work around that, as well as doing the work in the terms of the mindset mastery stuff. But you have to take those practical steps as well. You have to become the person that you want to become now, right? So if you are looking to increase your income and become a real high-level investor and somebody that earns a lot of money through their business, you've got to be acting like that now. What that means is, like, somebody at that level would be looking at their money. They would be understanding how they're spending. They would be, you know, really, like, being grateful. Maybe they'd be giving as well. Like, are you? Could you start by giving, like, a pound? Do you know what I mean? Like, start bringing, like, certain qualities of that you would be at that level into your life now. And that's for any area, you know, whether that's health and fitness, whether that's in terms of your business. Like, you've got to start living like that person now on a smaller scale, and that's how you'll build up to being in that next level version of yourself.
It's so interesting, actually. I'm thinking of the wealthiest people I know, particularly in my family, are the ones that always will be like finding the bargain and really obsessed with, like, oh, I managed to find this for 50% off. And it's like, but you're the one with loads of money. And it's like, yeah,
that's why.
Let's put these two things together and learn from this. Because they really are focused on their money and they understand it.
and they're trying to find smart ways to use and invest their money and, you know, move that flow of energy around.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's really cool because even a client I was speaking to last week around this particular topic was saying, you know, oh my gosh, like since I've been doing this money work as well, I've been manifesting so much. Like I manifested free tickets here, and I manifested this upgrade here, and then I went out for the day, and somebody was like, "Do you want some free lunch?" And was like, "Yeah, okay." And it's like, you know, all these great stuff, and that is really what happens when you really start developing a great relationship with money. Not only does your financial income improve, but you'll start noticing that so much great stuff that have a monetary value to it, right, starts appearing into your life as well. And so you'll start attracting what I call value into your life as well. And so, you know, as well as kind of that money that's appearing in your bank account or in cash or checks, or whatever, you'll start also attracting things that are worth money into your life. And so a free lunch or, you know, like a promotional thing or ticket, an upgrade on the plane or, you know, an upgrade at your hotel. And so all of these things, and that's what happens when you're in that wealth mindset. You really start to achieve and attract those things that you're not even paying for. People might just assume you pay for everything, but you're not really doing that. You've just got that mindset that actually money just flows to me, and I, you know, and it's a flow. It's like a give and a receive. And you know, and I always say, like, really think about that flow. Like, is your hand open in terms of money? Do you understand? Can you see what is going on in terms of your money, or is it closed? Do you have no idea what's going on? Do you grasp onto things with scarcity because you're scared money might leave and never come back to you as well? Or you're in that scared thing. That a sign of your hands closed in terms of how you're thinking about money can really stop the flow of abundance. Whereas if your hands are open and you're really transparent and understand your money, and you know, you've built a really good relationship and you continue building a good relationship about money, you'll start to see the flow of abundance just going in and out and in and out.
And that's the magic of it, isn't it? Because you might have a specific goal you're heading for, but then you work on the abundance mindset and inviting money in, and then can come in all sorts of unexpected ways.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's like planting a seed, isn't it? Or sort of shifting things and, you know, opening things up. And then it's just like, yeah, it just, it's not just focused in that one area.
Exactly.
It comes in from all angles and ones you weren't even expecting.
Yes.
That is why it feels like magic to
me. Exactly.
So exciting.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, and so you like that client last week, I put her in a challenge and I said, the next week when I speak to her, I want to hear about all the value, like, and start tracking that in terms of, you know, when... Like, one of the things I'll say is, like, really track your gratitudes if you don't already. But, like, you know, add into that, like, tracking any value that might come your way and flow your way. Because what you focus on expands, and getting that reticular activative system, really focusing on the abundance, really focusing on your gratitudes or your wins or your successes or whatever improvements you've had day in, day out, will attract more to you.
Amazing.
I think gratitude is so key, especially if you've had a dream and the dream didn't happen, you know, to come back to gratitude and to not be so stuck in that kind of scarcity or lack mindset, because it can make you lose faith, I think, about other dreams, and to come back, align yourself back in the gratitude for what you have right now, and then build that up again.
Yes, absolutely. Gratitude is really key because it brings you back to the feeling of, like, of joy, of love, of that there's something to be alive for each day, right? Without your attached goal or what you're working towards. And so it really brings you to a center to your present moment. And that's why gratitude is really so powerful. Because when you can be grateful for what you have, but still strive for more, that is when you're going to get results. And, you know, as opposed to being annoyed with what you have and wanting more. Is really like, you know, what is that saying, right? Yeah. What is that attracting to yourself? So it's really about important to get yourself into a gratitude state of mind, because therefore you're bringing yourself back to love each day, back to joy each day, back to, you know, really honoring each day, honoring yourself each day, and you're attracting more of that as you strive for more in your life. And that's why it's important. And the other thing I, you know, I really want to say there as well is, you know, you mentioned a really good point there, Vicky, in terms of, like, sometimes it might not go the way you planned. You might have been hurt before, or like you thought you had a big dream and it didn't work out, and you really did all your mindset stuff and you know, you worked really hard, but for some reason it didn't happen. I really want everybody to understand that life is always, you know, really happening for us and moving forward, and there's a lesson in that. So there's a learning in, like, some reason why you would have had to go through that circumstance and situation. And sometimes forgiveness work comes up, you know, often with many of my clients, in terms of letting go of a situation or circumstance or dream that they might have once been working on that they kind of got hurt by, and being able to go again, and being able to understand the learnings through whatever that situation happened. And sometimes it's not nice situations, or, you know, really quite hurtful situations, but really guiding yourself through that and being able to let go of kind of that hurt baggage that you might be holding on to, and letting yourself be free of that.
Mm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that all the work you're doing isn't working.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like,
absolutely.
Screw the journaling. It's obviously not working after all this time.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's that letting go, like you said. Mm. You got your goals, but maybe that's not how it's going to work out with that specific thing. Yeah. It's like, maybe, okay, so maybe things are going to work out a different way that I hadn't seen. So let's bring it back, come back to the centre, and, you know, get back to, like you say, that present and connecting with the joy and the abundance within, like, right, okay, now what next? And and putting it out there, and also seeing what turns up as well. I love setting goals, but for me, I always like setting an intention at the start of the year. And some of it will be aligned with particular goals, but also parts will be like, let's see how it comes out. So for me, we have the Goodbye Hello Journal, and one of my big intentions was a celebration. So it was connected with certain goals for Project Love and business-wise and buying a home, and we're doing that, we've done that now. But some of it was also to see how it would show up.
Yeah.
And it's really shown up amongst our friends, of like really getting together. This is how we first heard about you, as we got together with some girlfriends saying, let's celebrate our career successes and have a dinner and, you know, celebrate it. And it was in that conversation about celebration and success and handling success, because how success can be scary. So I think that's for another podcast now. We can't dive into that. Like, we can't get that.
No, how long have we got?
Podcast, we'll be inviting you back pretty much on a regular basis. Like, Vicky, let's have another session. I mean, podcast. it's also seeing how these things, you know, they do open up and how it comes into your life. And
it's
that mixture of setting goals and also surrendering and letting it take shape in ways that perhaps, you know, being open to being surprised.
Absolutely.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yes. Mm. Because it's more than just us. And so I only work with people that have that belief as well, because I know there's some people out there that don't. But, you know, they kind of feel like they are in control of absolutely 100% everything. And I really believe that there is a higher energy force, and, you know, in spirituality. And I do openly say that, like, I bring the science with the spirituality and combine them together. Mm. And so, you know, it really is important to kind of, like, understand that, because if you just believe you're in control, like you were saying there, Selena, if you was just to write out all your goals and your intentions and to not kind of allow the element of surprise, you know, then you're fixated on that you must do this in order to receive that, right? And actions are absolutely important. Your own actions and your manifestation are great, but you will be surprised. You will be surprised, right? And just in some magical ways, you know, that are just like, wow, how did that happen? And where did that come from? And that, you know, I believe is by a higher power and energy force than even ourselves. And so, you know, even something like this morning, I was speaking with the Mindset Mastery guys in my group, and I was saying to them, when they create like their goals, like really look at what actions can I take. And I also get them to write down, how can I be surprised? And get created. Get creative in, like, thinking, could always be surprised at any moment in taking this into the next whole kind of idea and level.
I love that.
Yeah.
expecting that.
Yeah. So
then when you do, when something does happen, it's like, oh, I knew.
Yeah, exactly. I get to be surprised all the time. Yeah.
Oh, God, so good. So how do people work with you? There are going to be people listening to this saying, right, I need to work with Dr. Celine immediately. What are the ways that we can work with
you? So at the moment, I do have power hours, which are really powerful one-on-ones, one-off sessions. So there are ways people can work with me directly. But the most important way, and it always comes back to, is mindset mastery. And so I have a mindset mastery group program, which is where you learn these tools and techniques. You join a powerful community, which is called the Powerhouse. And there's amazing people in there that are all go-getters, and they're all dedicated to their soul success and to mindset mastery. And once you're in the Powerhouse, you're in the Powerhouse for life. So, yeah.
There's no getting out.
There's no getting out. And that's because, you know, mindset mastery, as we said, it's lifelong. Mm. It's lifelong, right? And so although I love doing power hours and, you know, hopping on and really going that in-depth stuff, it really is important to learn the tools and the basics and join the community, right? You know, behavior change, what we know is, it's about understanding the education. It's about mindset mastery, but it's also about community. It's about having a real powerful community around you of like-minded people. Mm. And that's what's in the Powerhouse. You've got men and women, you know, that are all dedicated to their soul success and are rising up. And they're like shouting out and celebrating each other in terms of their businesses and what they're doing and holding each other accountable and stuff. So that is really great. And that is where the real truth, you know, like, I'd love you guys to book a power hour if you want to. But that thing, you know, the mindset mastery is really where it's at in terms of that course.
Amazing. And don't you do retreats as well?
I do, yes. But I don't know when the next one is going to be. Yes. But I do. I do day retreats, and I do also do international retreats in Barbados.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. And do day retreats in London here as well. But thinking about taking it US-wide. So, watch the space. But yeah, keep your eyes peeled. Everything can be found on the Dr. Talene website.
Yeah, drtalene.com.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you so much. I feel like I need to go away, have a lie down, and then do a lot of journaling.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's also bit by bit, like start where you're at and baby steps and, you know, go through it. I've got a free training as well on my website, you'll notice. And it's like an hour long, but you could take it in steps and go for it and just get a taster of what it's like to do mindset mastery and stuff. So you can go to my website and access that training as well as a starting point until you're ready for more.
Okay, amazing. Well, we'll add the links in the show notes.
Brilliant.
The
podcast, great stuff.
But yeah, you are magic.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And thank so you. Are you guys. Like, it's just so incredible what you're doing. And I just think it's amazing. I love the concept, Project Love, and it's just going to go to higher heights. So I'm really excited.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life.
As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it.
It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up.
And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to Coaching and Courses over on loveprojectlove.com.